You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Single one of you are here, and we are in the summer in the Psalms, where we are studying the book of Psalms all summer. And if you are following along our Summer in the Psalms Bible reading plan, can we just get a show of hands if you are taking the Summer in the Psalms Bible reading challenge? I love that, you guys. Thank you. These are available for you in the lobby on the student wall. And I just want to remind you all of the challenge that Gavin and I are giving every single one of you. We are saying, hey, if you take this Bible reading plan challenge and you'll read all 150 Psalms in 60 days before fall kickoff, which is on September 11th this year, then Gavin and I will schedule something fun to do with you so that we can celebrate your commitment to reading God's word and to hear about what God taught you as you've opened it up with him. Because to remind you all, this is what I shared 2 weeks ago at our summer kickoff, we want HSM to be a community that is a home, and that every single one of us contributes to this community by investing in it, showing up, by praying for each other to experience and grow in God's love for you. We also pray that HSM, this place, this community, is so full of hope and joy and grace and growth that you are consistently bringing friends every week who don't know Jesus so that they can experience him too. And then we're also praying that HSM takes more and more seriously reading the Bible consistently. And so if you are not opening up your Bible yet on a regular basis, that's okay. Start by trying to open it up at least once a week. Read it weekly. And if you're already reading the Bible weekly, amazing. Try to open it up every single day. That's what we're praying for. And as we continue with our Summer in the Psalms series, just to recap, on our first night, we discussed how the first Psalms invite us to meditate on God's word. That's partly why we're doing this reading plan this summer, is to say yes to God's invitation. And the first Psalms also invite us to live a righteous life by serving the Lord. And then the last Psalm shows us where the life of such a righteous person leads. It leads to praise of God. And the Psalms are, in fact, in poetry, music, and songs, they are full of praise to God. But not every verse in every Psalm initially appears to praise God. Many of the Psalms are Psalms of praise, but over 40% of them are what's known as Psalms of lament. And lament might not be a super familiar word to you now, and that's okay, but it should become a very meaningful word to Christians. Lament, everyone say lament out loud with me, 1, 2, 3. Lament. Lament comes from the Latin word lamentare, which means weeping or wailing. And if you have been following along with our Summer in the Psalms Bible reading plan, you have already seen that the Psalms are full of some weeping and some wailing. The first two verses of Psalm chapter 12 say, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts." And Psalm 13 begins saying, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." Psalm 44 says, "Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love. Lament for Christians is the honest expression of our sorrows to God. And lament is all over the book of Psalms. You see, for Christians, lament is weeping and wailing, but it's directing and communicating that grief directly to God. So lament can then be understood as a form of prayer. And as we just read together, we can lament over struggles and suffering, pain, losses, enemies, and injustices. And lamenting with God is a really important practice for Christians because it helps us to connect with him by being honest with him about how we feel, and then he helps us learn how to trust his ways. This life is really hard. It's full of difficulties, and you probably didn't need me to tell you that. You've experienced so much of that yourself. We face very real struggles in this world because we live in a broken world. And the reason our world is broken is because of sin. Sin is any thought, action, or behavior that puts ourselves or others or something else before God. So it's almost like every single one of us, we were born with a throne on our hearts because we were born to put God on that throne, to give him authority over our lives, to trust him, to honor him. But because of our sin, we have actually chosen to take God off of the throne of our hearts and to put something else there. And that sin is responsible for the brokenness of this world and the struggles we face. That suffering is not God's original plan. And because that sin has very real consequences, we face suffering. And sometimes the struggles or the suffering that we face, they are consequences of our own sin. So it's kind of like stuff that we did to ourselves, maybe. So, for example, maybe a friend in your life right now is not talking to you because they found out that you gossiped about them to other people. Or maybe you fail a math class or something because you didn't take the time to do your homework or to study responsibly. And sometimes, though, the struggles we face are not a direct result of our own sin, but because of the sins of others. So maybe your parents were irresponsible with their money, and now your family is struggling financially. Or maybe a family member harmed you, and now you experience anxiety and worry and a broken relationship with them. And sin has broken the entire world. So sometimes the struggles we face are just consequences of us living in this broken world. So I think about devastating earthquakes and fires and sicknesses and war and death. And all of these struggles, maybe some of them you've experienced before or are experiencing now, they lead to deep feelings of anguish. Everybody say anguish. Anguish means severe suffering, which sounds pretty bad, right? Because suffering in and of itself is uncomfortable, it's painful, it's hard. And when it's severe, that pit in your stomach, that like heaviness in your chest and on your shoulders, those are feelings of anguish. And when we are in such deep pain, sorrow, or anger, the enemy tries to tempt us to bring that pain all sorts of places because he doesn't want us to go to God. So instead, he leads us to the doom scroll, right? Is anyone else guilty of that? Scrolling on social media, or the Netflix binge, or endless video games, right? In order to escape and distract ourselves from those negative feelings. But sometimes maybe we're tempted to take our anguish, to take our pain and our suffering, and use that to fuel like aggression or violence. And maybe we're tempted to get into a fight verbally or physically with our friends or our family, our teacher, our coach, or siblings. And we might not be mad at that person, but because we're suffering, we're like taking it out on them, on someone who is innocent in that situation. Or maybe for some of us, we are tempted to bottle in our anguish and bottle in our feelings and thoughts to keep it to ourselves until we can't carry it on our own anymore. And we kind of face some uncontrollable anxiety and depression. But the psalmists, that's the authors of the Psalms, they provide a really interesting example for us. They invite us to direct our feelings of anguish to God. Tonight, we are learning how to lament, and we are going to find 4 lessons from our study together, and that's lesson number 1, is to address God. If you are in pain, if you are facing suffering, we must talk to God. Remember that Psalm 12 started with, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore." Psalm 13 began with, "How long, Lord?" And where I want us to focus the rest of our time, make sure you turn there, is Psalm 42. And Psalm 42 begins with the words, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" I hope you see that the psalmists are in pain, but they're not going to their friends. They're not going to social media or themselves first. They are talking to God. They're going to God. They're addressing him. And if you are in pain, the best person you can bring it to is God. I've heard Pastor Eric say before that when you have pain, you could either run away from God and deal with it alone, or you can run to God with it and let him walk you through your pain together. So bring your pain, your anguish, your lament to God. That's what the psalmists exemplify for us. And you can only do that. You can only really address God when, like Psalm 42, you're in a drought for him. That you're in so much pain, you're in so much suffering, that you've come to the end of yourself. That my soul thirsts for God, the living God, that is a cry of desperation. But that's actually one of the best places we can be. Because a second lesson on lamenting is to be honest with God. When we do go to God and address him, don't sugarcoat how you're feeling. God is the safest place that we could ever be. And the psalmists demonstrate that by being brutally honest with him. Psalm 42 continues in verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" The psalmist is honest. And he's saying, hey, day and night, so constant and rhythmic as eating food, I'm crying. And he doesn't hide that from God. He expresses that to him. And the psalmist also seems to have enemies. And it doesn't really seem necessarily that these are enemies after his life, but there are people taunting him about his faith in God. And so he's suffering, and everyone around him knows it. And they're saying, well, where's your God? Can't he just help you? Can't he just change your circumstances? Can't he just come in and intervene and help you? Where is he? You have faith, but how is that helping you? And I think many of you might relate to that tonight, that there might be people in your life who make fun of your faith, or they don't totally understand it, or they doubt it. They don't like that you're a Christian. Don't hide any of those situations or feelings of pain from God. Be honest with him. Psalm 42, the same psalm, says later in verses 9 and 10, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" And there's so much to learn from everything we've read already. But the thing that was really being put on my heart is looking at Psalm 42, verse 10. Does this sound like your prayer life? Like, do you dare to be this honest with God? Are you afraid that if you share your pain with him, that he's going to be impatient, that he's going to dismiss you, that he doesn't care? To be honest is to be vulnerable, and that is scary. But being honest is key to truly lamenting. And so if you long for your relationship with Jesus to have this much honesty, if you long for your prayer life to look like Psalm 42, I'm going to give you a challenge, and that is to this week pray through a psalm. This is something that one of my mentors taught me when I was in college, and I found it to be so helpful, especially for lamenting with God. And basically, you choose a psalm, and you read one or two verses at a time, and then you pause, and then you pray out loud using the verses you just read as a model. And so you could really do this with any section of scripture, but I find the Psalms are pretty easy to follow. And so if we think about Psalm 42, then maybe we would pause, and I would pause, and I would pray, why have you forgotten about me, Lord? Like, it feels like you have. Why does it seem like you don't care that I'm crying and sad about this area in my life? And this, I think, is a helpful and valuable practice because it reminds us that God invites our honesty and questions. And the reason he does that is because he wants a relationship with you. And think about the relationships in your own life right now. No relationship can go deep. You cannot be close to someone without honesty and without knowing how someone is actually doing. Last week, we had kids camp, Purpose Kids Camp, on our campus, and I have a picture of some of you serving. Almost 30, if we could celebrate this for a minute, almost 30 of our high school ministry was serving all week long at kids camp. Serving your hearts out, teaching kids about Jesus, like seriously, you guys are my heroes. And again, you were teaching them something. What did the back of your kids' camp shirts say? Ask me about my best friend. His name is Jesus. Especially if you were serving last week, you were telling kids over and over again, God wants to be your best friend. And the even better news is, God wants to be your best friend too. The God of the universe wants to be your friend. I hope that sinks in to you a little bit. And being his friend would be an immense privilege and honor. And so he wants us to be real with him. And something else that's cool about God is he is all-knowing. He already knows everything going on in your heart and in your mind, and yet he still wants to hear it from you because he wants to be close with you and he loves you. Psalm 42, verse 8 says, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And this verse, this is what God longs to have with us. That day and night, night and day, we are praying to him honestly with whatever we are feeling. And once we get there, lesson number 3 on lamenting is to remember God's character. To remember past experiences of God's character to help you trust him with the present and the future. Because pain and suffering and anguish, they have a way of kind of blinding us from God's character. So it's kind of like an eclipse. We've talked about that a few times here before, that when the moon covers the sun, it blocks its light. But the sun is still there. It's not hiding and it didn't disappear, but something else is covering it. And sometimes that's what our suffering does to our understanding of God's goodness. That our pain kind of clouds the truth that we know is real, that God is good. So in our lives, when darkness creeps in, we have to remember the light. Verse 6 in Psalm 42 says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, in the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. You see, the psalmist knows that his soul is downcast. It's disappointed, it's suffering, and it's in pain. So the psalmist intentionally chooses to remember who his God is, to remember what God had done in the past, how he's experienced God in his life before, so that he can trust him with the present and the future. And that's a difficult thing to do. So remembering God's goodness is a discipline. And I think it's also wise for us to remember God's goodness when we feel it, so that we can go back to remembering it more easily when we don't. So in other words, I think it's much easier for us to recall the goodness of God in the highs of life rather than the lows, so we need to prepare for the lows. And there's a lot of different ways that we can remember God's character, and one of them that I want to share with you tonight is one of my best friends, Sabrina. In college, I'll never forget she did this. She wrote out the alphabet, A through Z, and then she wrote out one quality or characteristic of God that started with each letter. And she inspired me. I always wanted to do it myself, and so some of our staff team did it together this week, and we came up with this list, that God is all-knowing. God is the breaker of chains. He is creator, delighter. He is everlasting. He is a faithful friend. God is gracious. He is a helper. He is holy, intentional, just. God is the King of kings. God is love. God is mighty. God is never failing. He's omnipresent. He's powerful. He is quick to forgive. God is resurrected. He is steadfast. He is the truth. He is upright. He is victorious. He is worthy, extraordinary. He is your Savior. He is zealous. That's who God is, no matter what circumstances we face. And we also threw in that God is the zebra creator, just for some fun. But what if you did this? What if you did this for yourself and kept it in your Bible? And what if you wrote down next to each quality specific times in your life that you experienced that quality of God? So that when you're in a season of suffering, when you're lamenting, addressing God and being honest with him, you can go back and reflect and remember the goodness and trustworthiness of God and his character. And as we do that, I believe it leads us to lesson 4 on lamenting, and that is to choose in your heart to trust God. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You see, lamenting should always come back to trusting God. Because God is steadfast, he remains the same no matter what circumstances we face. And because of that, there is hope even in our suffering that there is still yet, that we are still yet to praise God. That there will come a time again, and that even starts now, that we can give praise to God. And this is where the lamenting with God journey arrives. I think lamenting without choosing in your heart to trust God, then we're just complaining. Then we're just being led by our feelings. That God invites us to be honest with him, to address him, but he always wants to bring us to a place of praising him, even when it doesn't make sense, and even when it's the difficult choice to make. And I think these lessons on lamenting actually connect and move through a cycle. I've called it the lament loop for us, and it's also in your sermon notes, the loop of lament. And I've been thinking about how, you know, we go to God with specific things to lament over, things that we're specifically suffering about. So we address him, we're honest with him, we remember his character, and we choose to trust in our hearts. We choose to trust God in our hearts. But I was also meditating on how in this life, lamenting probably doesn't stop. That sometimes you will have to go through this cycle over and over again for the same thing. For the same thing that you lamented over yesterday and maybe even earlier today. And that's okay and welcome from God as long as we let him bring us to a place of trusting him in our hearts. And also, let's say that we do. Okay, there's something that we're grieving over. We bring it to God. We're truly trusting him in our hearts. I was talking with Kyle the other day, and we talked about how, well, trusting God more leads us to knowing his heart more, so more things break our hearts like they break his. That as we get to know God more and understand his heart, that we are heartbroken over the same things that he is, like suffering and like injustice. And that leads to more lament. It reminds me of a song called Hosanna. It's a little bit older, by Hillsong Worship. And the bridge of that song is a beautiful prayer. And it says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me." As we trust God more, this becomes even more true of us. And so on this side of eternity, I think we live in the lament loop. That's just a constant for us. But lamenting with God will help us move closer to him, especially in the times that it is most crucial, when we are in pain and in suffering. And I know for me, there have been times in my life that I could not go past the Psalms every day because of the lament Psalms, because of how deeply I was in the lament loop and how much I was crying out in desperation to God. That I remember when COVID hit during my last quarter of college, I moved home unexpectedly and was away from all of my friends and everything that I thought was going to happen. And I know a lot of you can relate to that too. And I've shared here with HSM this year about some struggles that my family is going through and has been for many months. And it's like sometimes I my alarm goes off and I just have to reach for my Bible and it falls at the Psalms. I can't go past Psalm 42, Psalm 13. But in those times, I still chose to seek God every day. Through the pain and struggles, I'm still trying to do that right now. And somehow, every time, even in my deepest pain, as I lamented with the Lord, he's actually revealed himself to be closer to me than I've ever thought. And that our relationship and closeness grew as I was lamenting with him, sometimes even more than in my times of joy with him. And it's my prayer that you, HSM, would learn now how to go to God with your pain. That you would learn to value the practice of lamenting. And that it would result in every single one of us, and as an HSM community, choosing every day to trust God in our hearts more and more. I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes. And as I've been preparing and praying for tonight, and thinking about everything that we just studied together, and thinking about so many of us leaving for camp starting on Sunday, I felt like the Lord wanted to ask every single one of us, all of HSM, this question. Do you trust me? That right now, tonight, God is asking you in your heart, do you trust me? He wants you to trust him. And I want to encourage you that if there's an area in your life that you don't trust God right now, or maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus and you want to, would you tell your life group leader or myself tonight, before tonight is over? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that you are trustworthy. And Lord, I pray that tonight, starting right now in our life group discussions, you would give us the boldness to be honest with you and to be honest with each other. And we pray that you would use that honesty to deepen our relationship with you and each other, that God, we would be overwhelmed and filled by your love and your grace. And Lord, I pray that, as we learn to lament with you, that you would take our pain, you would take our suffering, and you would somehow do what only you can do and turn it into something beautiful. We love you so, so much, Lord, and we lift up the rest of our night to you. We give you our attention. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. It's in your name that we pray.